This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on 104.1 FM, KMOX. It's kind of a mouthful. We may have to workshop that a little bit. 104.1 KMOX.
Yeah.
KMOX, 104.1.
104.1.
I think we're supposed to say 104.1 KMOX.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Why, what? Did you have different information?
I was going to say, I think it kind of rolls off the tongue.
Does it?
104.1 KMOX.
Yeah, I like it. I think it sounds...
Well, I don't care what the two of you like.
I think it's smooth.
104.1. You say 104.1 or 104.1?
I thought it was point.
I mean, we can say
there's
point.
There's an email about it. I'll be able to find it. Hold on.
Oh, is there like a best practices email?
You never read your email.
I know. I read them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been a lot about this, and then I got to compartmentalize what I have to remember and what I don't.
Yes, yes. Our buddy Patrick Clark was in from Fox 2 and Channel 11. He's going to be doing a little package on us during the 5 p.m. Fox 2. Started my day at Fox 2, so sort of bookending this one. I've said things similar to this, and I'm going to say it again. So I don't think I'm particularly tough or weak, but there's a certain kind of weak that I am. It's the kind of week that should never be a surgeon, even though I am basically that on TikTok. I had to be at Fox 2 this morning at 7:15, which meant I got up at 5, and that's not terrible for me. There are quite a few mornings I'm up that early. I don't sleep great, but the fact that I had to be somewhere and have coffee and have a nice T-shirt and be interviewed, then come in here and then do this stuff, like... If I had to do a surgery right now, I shouldn't do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel a little weird. I'm having a Red Bull, and I'm feeling a little out there. So thank God I didn't become a surgeon. That's all I'm saying.
To be fair, the likelihood that you would have had to have done a television hit and then a radio show and then a surgery, that is low. So,
well, I don't know
what I'm saying.
I think I was always destined to be famous. So... Razor's Edge?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about something kind of apropos of what we talked about in the last hour when you were talking about all these influencers who, you know, this huge percentage of the information they're putting out there about ADHD or autism or what have you on TikTok is actually just misinformation, is not real. Social media is just a breeding ground for this sort of thing, and everyone just wants to have their hook and have the reason why people watch them. And it seems like on TikTok especially, everyone has a theory, whether it's like, oh, this is color theory. These are the type of colors you should be wearing. Are you a winter? Are you an autumn? Here's what you'll look best in. Mm. Stuff like that. Someone came up with perhaps the stupidest one I've ever heard of. And this is called airport theory. Have any of you guys heard of airport theory?
I have, but I've not. Is it? I'll let you explain. I think I might. I have guesses about what it is, but I don't know for sure.
He hasn't heard.
I have. I've tried to piece this together.
It was in an email we sent you.
Yeah, it was all explained. And it was marked urgent. No, I saw
Please
this.
Please read
your eyes only.
I saw this organically myself on TikTok and I thought that is really stupid. And I just kept scrolling, but now it's a big enough of a thing that it was in my show prep this morning. I look at this website called Newser sometimes, and it's just like little condensed stories about what's going on. Airport theory is the theory that you only have to show up to the airport 15 minutes before your plane takes off.
Oh, I saw that
because
guy.
The theory is 15 minutes is all you need. Any earlier than that, and you are just wasting precious, valuable time sitting at your gate scrolling on your phone that you could be, I mean, you could be doing other things, right? So people out there have actually listened to this horrible advice, and there are many TikToks now of people missing their flight, seeing their flight take off because they didn't give themselves enough time to get through freaking TSA at the airport.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That one seems pretty easy to avoid.
That guy is trying to ruin people's lives.
Don't listen to some rando who did it twice and like, yeah, see, it worked out just fine.
Yeah.
Do that in Orlando when you're coming back from a Disney trip, right. And I wish you all the best of luck because you're not getting through security there on any kind of busy day in less than an hour.
So they're saying the goal is to limit valuable time spent waiting in the airport, streamline the experience, and maximize efficiency to get to your gate as quickly as possible. So just show up at the last minute and hope everything shakes out okay. All right.
So unpopular opinion, I like being in the airport. When we did like a 11-hour layover in Charlotte, that wasn't fun. But a typical get to the airport 90 minutes ahead of time, get you a Starbucks, get you some greasy food from Burger King. Like, I like it. When I fly, I'm doing something fun. I don't fly for work. So when I'm at the airport, I'm anticipating something fun. So I don't really mind being there early. Plus, it would cause me so much more upset to be running late.
Oh my gosh.
Than to be sitting there for an extra hour.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
What are you doing in your life where you think that 1 hour changes your world?
Oh, I'm sure that guy could tell us.
Like, yeah, is he one of those guys? Is he one of those, like,
I didn't see him, but that's
rise and grind
him.
Bros. Yeah.
I like that. I don't even know who created this theory, and yet we all have an
we
idea.
We hate him.
I saw one guy doing this,
and he was
a youngish guy, and he's like, I just don't want to waste time standing here when I could be. When you could be doing what? Sitting in your apartment?
I don't like the way that guy talks.
Like, what's the difference? But also, like, telling other people to engage in risky behavior that could cost them hundreds of dollars because they missed their flights just because it worked for you twice is not exactly genius.
Yeah, and those are the only types of guys who are like, you need that extra hour of your life or whatever. And it's like, no, the extra hour is just a part of the traveling. It's built in. Because you know you got to
travel
get there.
Day.
Yeah. You know you got to get there 90 minutes ahead of time. Because if anything goes wrong, it's going to take an hour to fix. And if you're not an hour ahead of schedule, you're just going to miss your flight.
And if you have any grinding to do, if you could do it at your apartment or your house, why can't you do it in the airport?
Yeah, grinding.
Why can't you have your laptop out doing your work there?
Thank you, grind at the airport. I've been saying this for years.
I don't need all the noise in the background.
Airport's the best place to grind.
I already hate that person.
That guy cries a lot.
And it's a lot of people. It's like, because it's kind of get back to that whole thing about why do people listen to random people?
Yeah.
Because we're all lost and we're all scrambling for something to hold on to.
Has there been an epidemic of people?
Unpredictable life.
Like, I'm wasting my life away in airports.
This is such a great point. We have seen so much more of this lately, I feel like, specifically on the internet. I think TikTok is really the cause of a lot of it, but I see it on other platforms too. Just because somebody says something, we just assume that they know what they're talking about. And it's like, no, you could just say anything. There's no sense of authority anymore. It's not like it used to be where if a guy was on TV or the radio and you'd hear it, you'd be like, well, he's on the TV or the radio.
But that was a bit oversimplification.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Right?
Like that's we would assume you could safely assume if somebody was on the radio or TV talking about something, they must know what they're talking about because they got to that point. They crossed enough barriers to be able to get to that point where people were trusting them to say this stuff. But now that everyone can just make their own platform and start talking about whatever, there's no expertise required. There's no knowledge required. You just say whatever.
I have a dumb theory.
What's up?
If anxiety were like cardio, I would be ripped.
That is true.
Man.
That is a fact.
You might be Mr. Universe.
Right? You know how, like, you look at your phone, you see how many steps you had?
Yeah.
If you look at your phone, it says, like, 3.5 panic attacks. You just burned 6,000 calories. You're like, okay, right on.
Dude, what if words were that? I'd be the Hulk.
You are the Hulk.
No.
What if Dave and Kevin were just huge? Just like absolutely just ripped.
Yeah, what if?
Can't even put a shirt on.
I just want to remind people, back to the airline thing really quickly. Many airlines will cease boarding 15 minutes before your flight takes off.
Yeah.
So if you're getting to TSA, if you're getting to security 15 minutes before your flight leaves, you're not smart. And I'm not trying to brag. You know me, I'm like John Hancock. I don't like to talk, but I do have TSA pre-check, okay?
Ooh, look at you.
I know.
Have you been to Japan more than once?
I have. Several times.
Didn't realize who were sharing the show.
You're a professional.
I've flown on a plane more than one time in my life.
Yeah, I think you are the expert when you listen to. Because you've done this
stuff. But I'm saying, like, you still want to get there at least an hour early, even if you have all of these mechanisms in place. It's like, just get there and take that, like Dave said, just kind of take that time. Like Wheel said, factor it into your day. It's all good. It's a part of the travel day.
Eat a Chris sandwich from Burger King that's going to make you need to poop real bad on
yes.
the plane.
Yum. Just do that early enough so that's before the plane, right?
Chris says, that's the most Andrew has talked in 6 months. He must dig the FM vibe.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, I feel like he talks.
I don't know about all that.
There was a window there, though, where there was the recovery of the illness where it was a little bit quieter.
That's
yeah,
true.
You're right. Yeah. There was like a solid 3 weeks where I was like, I should not speak unless I'm forced to.
3 weeks. I was thinking more like about 5 days, but whatever.
I was here before Andrew today, and when you came in, your hair was completely wet.
It's not wet. It's okay. Well, it was, I think, probably still a little wet. It's this. So I have this shampoo conditioner combo that I'm using.
Yeah, we've all heard of that.
And so, when I put it in my hair, and then I rinse it out, and then I dry it and everything, I usually air dry my hair, so it just ends up kind of sticky like that until I rub it out a few times. Sorry.
Yeah,
I just, I have to run my hands through my hair.
A few times,
what I mean.
Huh?
Yeah, and then it gets all the shape out. But
is it a leave-in conditioner?
I don't know what that is.
It's a conditioner that you leave in.
No, I don't think so, because I rinse it out.
I'm just confused as to why it's having such an effect on your hair if you're rinsing it.
I don't understand it either, but I mean, I go with it.
Brand? Drop the product. What's the brand?
The product is, everybody knows it. It's
is
at
it Garnier
Target.
Fructis?
No, it's at Target in a white bottle. White bottle shampoo. It's very clean looking.
It's called white bottle shampoo. Yeah.
Native. It's called white guy.
Oh, okay. So you're getting a little fancy with it.
Native
I can see that
brand.
Native
yeah.
kind of has a little bit of a residue type thing going
yeah, on. Yeah, and it leaves this kind of residue. And people like it. They like the way that it looks. And the first time it happened, I didn't know it had happened. And people were like, hey, it looks pretty good. And I was like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I looked in the mirror and I saw it.
So to be clear, you don't have any product in your hair right now.
No, other than conditioner that I rinsed out.
Hmm.
I know. I haven't really been questioning it. It is a little strange to me, and I've been wondering, like, am I damaging myself somehow by leaving gunk in the hair or whatever?
I think you're okay.
Yeah, I think I'm probably fine. Yeah. But if I were to, like, run my hands through my hair a bunch...
In your pantheon of problems you have, this one's probably pretty low.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably
that's
okay.
That's why I haven't been worried too much about it.
I washed my hair with Irish Spring this morning, so... I did.
Let's get it nice and shiny.
Like my hiney.
All right. Well, yeah. Anyway, moral of the story is don't listen to random people on TikTok. They don't
go.
Know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It doesn't change anything, so baby,
welcome back, guys. DGS on 104.1 FM 222. So I looked into my finances. Good news. I can officially retire at 92.
Nice.
And have 7 relatively good days.
Very good.
So, yeah.
Good.
Congratulations.
It's all paying off.
Yeah.
There you go.
Perfect.
Be weird if you got that kind of information. Like, just very empirical. I've never seen this movie. I would never see it, but it shows up on my TikTok, and it's kind of an intriguing, setting for a movie. The one where Justin Timberlake.
Oh yeah,
you pay
that's
with
a good movie.
Time. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, it's called In Time.
Yeah,
with,
it's intriguing.
Amanda Seyfried. It's a good movie.
Yeah,
I think you would like it if you watched it.
I never will. But thank
Same.
You. I don't like Justin Timberlake.
That is completely fair.
Yeah.
He's fine, like, as a guest on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, he's a bit unlikable, I think, is a fair way to put it.
Yeah. This is going to ruin the tour.
It's going to ruin the tour.
He's a bit smacked.
It's going to ruin the tour.
Yeah, he's a bit smackable. That's
awesome. That's
for sure.
That was pretty awesome when he said that. Yeah. I mean, like, completely self-serving. And
then when the cop goes, what tour? He goes, the world tour.
Piece of crappy, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Dave, you bringing that up and saying, like, wouldn't it be interesting to have information like that? Like, hey, here's what's going on with you.
Yeah.
It reminds me of this story I saw over the weekend. This woman is a teacher, and she had made a post saying, like, yeah, I feel like I should start telling kids what grade level they're reading at, because then that might kind of shock them into, you know, getting back on track. But we don't want to make the kids feel bad. And I'm going, you don't tell kids that they're reading below their grade level if they are? That is super, super weird. Like, that seems like a great first step to kind of address this huge problem we're having
accuracy.
With literacy. Yeah, just be like, hey, here's where you measure up, instead of leaving people in the dark. And then you have situations where kids are graduating high school functionally illiterate and then turning around and suing, like, the state and everything because they've been completely failed by their teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just seems like a great step one.
Yeah.
You read at a fifth grade reading level, but you're in eighth grade. Let's get back on track here.
Yeah.
Let's do everything we can to get you at the right level.
If you could get a report card.
Yeah.
There's some technology and it says, oh, look at this, Rach. As a daughter, you're a B minus. As a partner, you're a C plus. As a worker, you're an A this. Like, would you want it?
I would want it, but I'm not going to say that I would react to it well.
Right.
You know, just being honest.
Which would be on the report.
Just knowing myself. No, I'm the type of person where, like, in the past I've been like, I want to know. Like, of course I want to know. I'll be able to take the criticism and be able to fix it. But then whenever you do get, like, real criticism in life, sometimes it is really hard to swallow.
Okay,
that.
Let's play a little game. You can swap out character traits. So you lose one you don't like and you add one that you wish you had.
Okay.
Okay. You can go first since you have the floor.
If I could get rid of something, I would get rid of my people pleasing tendencies, and I would just add on more assertiveness and more confidence.
Yeah.
I think that would literally change my entire life if I did that.
I feel you.
What about you guys?
Wheel test. Absolutely nothing.
I have one that I would add. I can't think
frozen,
of one I'd have to get rid of.
He's frozen in place.
But the one I would add would fix a big thing. I would get rid of my forgetfulness.
Mm.
Or in other words, I would add memory or mindfulness or whatever the hell you want to call it. I don't want to.
Something like that.
I forget too much stuff. I forget too much stuff. I want to
be
stop
more
that.
Of a brain man.
Yeah.
What do you call them people?
Yeah. Like, I can remember, you know, what Lou Gehrig hit in 1927, but I will not remember to take out the garbage if I don't have an alarm on my phone.
But but no traits that you wish you could just jettison.
I kind of, even the bad ones, I kind of like.
Like, what's your worst that you are kind of fond of?
Well, pretty loud.
Got he a quick, loves it.
Got a quick temper. I got that. But I don't direct
you like
that at,
having a quick
but
temper?
But I do. But I don't mostly direct it at humans. It's usually at stuff.
So you're gonna say just animals.
At fiends. No. Like it's at
that's not great.
It's like it's at traffic. It's not in someone's face screaming at them. I'm just mad at somebody's driving dumb in front of me. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like I'm gonna get in your face and start a fight. It's not that.
Yeah.
You know, I get mad at home. I'm not yelling at my dogs or yelling at the wife or anything like that. I'm yelling at my video games.
Andrew?
Well, my best quality is that I'm so quick to anger.
with how loud I yell.
Listen, dude. Hey, listen, there are times when that is actually helpful.
I lose my stuff pretty quick, but I can slap someone really hard.
Yeah, listen, man.
I really sympathize with Kevin on the forgetfulness thing. I think it's... more
like reading your email.
Reading an email. I could really use a better attention span, like the short term attention span. You know what I mean? I'm everybody likes to make fun of me because I read while I'm watching something on my iPad while I'm playing a video game
while you're driving your car.
While I'm driving my car. And it's like, I would really like a more focused attention span so I could let some of that stuff go.
Yeah.
I think that would be really great.
How do you feel about how quickly you get angry? Could you use more of it?
I'm not the slowest to anger, but I really, if I could just have like more of a hair trigger and just really go off about things at a moment's notice, I think that'd be really helpful.
I think mine might be exactly Rach's.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I got a lot of them, but I think, yeah, the people pleasing, wrap it all up, that's kind of everything. Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM. It was on Fox News this morning. We'll be on again at 5 p.m. I say this for one reason and one reason only, to impress Bernie Miklas, and he's here now.
Hey, man, I'm just impressed getting a chance to hang out with the DGS crew every day.
We're a fun group, aren't we?
You really are. Good music coming back, too, man. You had my head bobbing.
Yeah, that's Rach today. Rach is handling the music today.
Oh, man, I'm all up into that. That's great stuff. Love that.
So this has been an interesting off season for me because it is the most engaged I've ever been during an off season, the most I've ever wondered, the most I've ever read, the most I've ever talked about an off season. And you guys would probably say it's like the least eventful off season you can remember, right?
Well,
yeah. As far as like adding players. Yeah, go ahead, Wheels.
I was going to say, least eventful in terms of moves. I think maybe most interesting because of direction and the massive change that's happening at the top. I mean, this is Mo's last year, and there's a new boss coming in, and that's going to be a lot to process, and this was all the beginning of it. So there's not a lot – there weren't a lot of moves to break down, but there's a lot of, like, philosophy to talk about and what the heck they're going to do, and they're finally starting to let us in on some of those things.
You know, and Dave, as much as I've kind of lampooned the idea that this was a reset, only because most of the young players they have on the team have already been here. So, yeah, some are going to get more at-bats, more opportunity. I get that. But when they named Victor Scott the starting center fielder, which is the obvious choice, but we still didn't know if they were going to do it or not, I was fiddling around a little bit. And, you know, I'm looking at this. Like, based on whatever day it is or whatever lineup that Ollie Marmol puts together, the Cardinals will have, like, five regulars in the lineup that are 25 years or younger. And we have Walker, Wynn, Gorman, and Scott. That foursome – and Herrera, too, sorry. That foursome average is exactly 24 years old. And if you add Nootbaar and Burleson and Pedro Pages to the list – that's eight guys, and they still the eight of them still are under 25 years old in terms of average age. And I mean, I actually think that's pretty cool that they're going to be going into a season with this so much youth in the lineup. It's just now they're going to have to perform, but I just kind of like the young bloods getting a shot at this.
So if let's say Victor Scott went 0-for-100. I understand you got to do something.
Yeah.
Short of that, I hope they let them all play and play through whatever peaks and valleys they have.
Well, I was doing my weekly podcast called Seeing Red with Will Leach this morning. We do it every Monday, shameless self-promotion there. But we had a long talk about this because, to your point, but I'm going to expand it. Like, we know they are absolutely dedicated going into the season to giving Jordan Walker, like, you know, a full run. Don't bother him. Let him work it out. Same with Gorman. But what happens if it's, like, near the end of May and Jordan Walker's hitting 130 or something? What happens if it's June the 3rd and Nolan Gorman's striking out, like, 39% of the time? Are we sure that they will not – send them to the minors? I mean, that's going to be one of the big questions. And listen, I hope it's not even relevant.
Right.
Because I hope both those guys do well, believe me. But what happens if they don't?
I mean, it's a legit question. And I mean, that it remains to be seen whether what the idea, what the plan is what's executed, right? Because Ollie, I thought, Bernie, said the best you can say about Victor Scott and Matthew Liberatore specifically. Hey, listen, it's your job. You're not pitching for your job. It's not an audition. Matthew Liberatore, you're a starter. Go start. Don't be looking over your shoulder. Victor Scott, you're the center fielder. You got to play. You're going to be out there. It's your job. And I love that message, and I want them to stick with it, because if you don't get these answers this year, you're doing this again next year.
Right. And I think one of the reasons, the only reason that I invoke the names of Walker and Gorman is simply because, even though, listen, man, the real baseball starts Thursday, but I think we all were hoping that Walker and Gorman had a really positive spring and they would go into the regular season with more confidence and some momentum. And unfortunately, like, the exact opposite happened. So I just hope they can get off to a really good start, because, man, there is going to be so much pressure on those two guys. They are so important to this offense, whether in terms of determining whether it's going to be any good or it's going to be bad again.
It's also going to determine what course Heim Bloom's going to have to pursue in the future for middle of the order bats.
Yep.
If those guys don't show that they're going to be capable of hitting somewhere in the top five, you're going to need those guys. You're going to have to go get them. Because the only ones that, I mean, you have guys that can do it now, right? You have Newt Barr that can hit in that group.
Yeah.
Wilson Contreras is legit. Donovan can hit in that group. But you're very limited in terms of guys that are impact power hitters. There's one guy that is proven at that, and that's Contreras. And if you're not going to get that from within, you're going to have to go pay for it.
Okay. Question.
Yep.
We are the Cardinals. We love the Cardinals. We have affection for Burley, and we're rooting for Gorman. Let's change the scenario. We're not St. Louis. We're an opposing team. You guys are sportscasters for the Orioles or something. When you see the young Cardinals coming in, what's your honest assessment?
I would say that there's a lot of talent there. A lot of talent there. But they haven't put it together, and like a lot of young hitters, they struggle with consistency. And if they can develop a lot more reliable consistency, I would say watch out if that happens. But of course, that's got to happen.
Yeah, see, that's exactly how I look at the team. That's how I look at every team in baseball. I try to do that, every team from an outside view. And I try to trust not only my own eyes, but opinions of people that don't live here, as well as people that are here, too. I think you're seeing a team that has a super high ceiling and a pretty low floor. There's a big range of risk with this team because there isn't a lot of certainty, right? There aren't a lot of guys where we'll be, yep, I know exactly what that guy is. There's maybe three of those guys. And one of them would have been Sonny Gray, and his velocity's down, and he's behind. Thankfully, he's saying he's not hurt, but he's behind, and it's a little concerning that you're this close to opening day, and he's saying the ball's not coming out of my hand the way that I like. But he would be one of the certainties, and if some of those certainties falter or get hurt, there's an argument for this to be like 2023, where you're a 90 loss team. There's also the argument though that if even a few guys start to reach some potential, you could be 5, 6, 7, 8 games better than you were last year. So there's a wide range of possibilities.
Which makes it exciting.
Because like Jordan Walker's upside is still high, no matter what you think of his performance. When you look at the things that he does, he's a well above average runner. He's got an excellent elite level throwing arm, and he hits the ball hard as Aaron Judge. He's got the same bat speed as guys at the very top of the list of hitters like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Aaron Judge. So if you have that beginning, and you can start making more consistent quality contact, you have the ability to be 30 home run guy that drives in a lot of runs. But ability is one thing, performance is another. And
yeah,
that's where we're at right now.
And Gorman is the same way in that if you look at his barrel rate or his sweet spot rate, and I know that's gobbledygook to some people, but that's the best contact you can make. It's off the charts how good it is. But the problem is, actually making the contact. You know, my friend Joe Sheehan, who I've known for a very long time, he has his own newsletter. I learned a lot of baseball in terms of how to analyze teams from him. I was reading his power rankings, and he came out with what he thought of the Cardinals today. And he said, and this has – listen, he predicted 82 wins. But what I'm going to talk about is real quick is that what he sees in this offense. And he said, listen, I look at all the young talent they have. I look at all these guys, you know, age 23, 24, 25, maybe a couple of them 26. And he said, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates and there's some other teams, he said, have been awful for 10 years and they've been drafting early in the first round for 9 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cardinals have like a better collection of young hitters. And he said, they haven't done it yet. He said, but why? He even asked himself a question. He said, why am I feeling like optimistic about this set of young hitters? Like Joe Sheehan, who's not a Pollyanna at all.
No.
I mean, he's the opposite of that. He actually thinks the Cardinals got something going offensively. So I thought that was an interesting neutral view.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, I listen to the guys on MLB Network Radio quite a bit. Some of the guys like CJ Nitkowski and Ryan Spielborgs are former players. Others like Jim Duquette are former front office people. And there are a lot of really smart voices there. And it's a little mixed, but they all see what we're talking about, right? They all see because, look, when you look at guys like Walker and Gorman, for example, they were viewed as first round draft picks by everybody, mm-hmm. right? This wasn't like, oh, the Cardinals took a flyer. These were guys that everybody in the in baseball said, yep, those guys are amongst the 25 or 30 best players in the draft in that year. They've both been top 100 prospects. Jordan Walker was a top 10 prospect. That's not based on anything a Cardinal. That's not a Cardinals evaluation.
Yeah.
That's neutral third parties. That's Baseball America. And it's, by the way, all different types of ratings. Some of them analytics, some of them eye tests, some of them scouts, some of them just asking around and polling people. So the talent is clearly there.
Yeah. So, Byrne, I don't know how well you knew Brian McKenna, but being in the same field, I just want to give you a chance to say something if you wanted to.
I knew him very well for a long time. And listen, I believe in total candor here. One of the regrets, a horrible, horrible loss of a man so full of vigor in life and vitality and someone with a generous heart and a generous soul and lots of fun. But I was sort of beating myself over the weekend, and this is not about me, but I just wanted to be, you know, straight up. Well, I really regret that I did not stay in better touch with him over the last several years. I mean, you know, when he came out on the other side of cancer, I should have been reaching out to him, but I get so caught up in the daily grind. And I'm like, you know, there's a dude I really loved and a dude I enjoyed working with, and I enjoyed everything about him. I love his self-deprecating humor. He brightened any room that he walked into. He did. He really did. He's one of those guys. And I feel really bad that I didn't spend more time with him, because it just shows you once again, I mean, this guy fought like hell and he beat cancer. And this is such an unfair, totally awful way for him to go. Someone who had the toughness to overcome cancer the way he did. And I wish I would have, I wish I would have been, you know, with him more. Just a little bit here and there, spend more time with him, because I treasured our friendship, but I get too caught up in my own work, and it's actually one of the worst habits I have.
Yeah,
so.
Buddy, I got it. There are a dozen people on my list, at least,
yeah,
that you think I really, really owe them a call. I really owe them a night out. I owe them to sit with my undivided attention and catch up over the last 5 years. So you're not alone.
Yeah, I love that. I love Brian McKenna, man. Just a very unique individual.
Yes.
And I know you guys loved him obviously a lot. And I know he's been kind of a regular or semi-regular on your show too. Yeah. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Tell us about Saliga before we let you go. 251 DGS 104.1 FM. If you're not listening there, I don't know what to say to help you. 1120 still exists and always will. So if you are out of town, like, was it Dave? One of our consistent streamers is a couple hundred miles out of town and listens to AM. You can still do that. You can listen to 102.5 HD if you're the only genius that ever figured out how to work in HD radio. You can also download the Odyssey app. You can podcast us anywhere, but we're really hoping that your new home will become 104.1 FM. Wheels, I wanted to give Bernie the chance to say something about McKenna there, but because of that, we didn't talk any blues.
Oh, my God.
We need to talk a little blues.
We should, maybe. You know, they've been on this roller coaster for a number of years now, and earlier in the year it felt like and looked like a lot of the same old, even with Jim Montgomery there. But the last month, it's leveled off finally, and the level is the high level, right? They have been absolutely phenomenal. So they won both games over the weekend, 4-1. Teams they should beat, but still. They've moved into the last playoff spot. They haven't locked it up because, you know, teams behind them still have more games to play. So they've got room to there's room for that deficit to go away. But right now they're on a 7-game winning streak. I want to go back to when this kind of started, but like around February 8th is when it started. So they were 24-26-5 coming into play on the 8th of February, right? So since that time, it's 12-3-2.
I don't want to say it.
That is,
but you know what it reminds me of.
That is, I'm sorry, 13-3-2. I want to be 13-3-2. So only three regulation losses in a month and a half. They've been playing great. Now again, a lot of work to do. Games in hand for Vancouver and Calgary and all that can be made up. But they're in that spot now, and they just deserve a lot of credit for this. And a lot of this, what's happening in this 7-game winning streak, is without Colton Parayko. That's your number one defenseman. He's been down with an injury. He's out until the end of the regular season at least. and it hasn't fazed them at all. They've been playing just great overall 5-on-5 hockey. They're plus 10 on the plus on the goal, on the goal differential, and teams that are in that range are playoff teams. So they are they seem to have finally turned a corner that's sustainable, which to me is the bigger news, right?
How many games left?
10. They have 10 games left. Calgary has 13 games left. Vancouver has 12 games left. Utah has 12 games left. Those are the teams that are immediately behind them. So, again, it's a four-point lead right now, but it may not even be a lead if Calgary were to win all of those games. But
and
still.
What do you think of the tournament so far?
I have not watched almost at all.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, I know I put this on the rundown. This is the least I've ever followed college basketball in my life. The tournament, I've had the games on in the background at times over the weekend, like when I was laying on the couch feeling like I was dying from the shingles vaccine.
Oh, yeah. We need to talk about that, too.
I had it on in the background sometimes, but I wasn't really paying attention. I had it on in the background when I was doing some stuff on the computer and all of that. And it's been a pretty good tournament. You know, I mean, the big dogs are left, and I think that has a lot of people disappointed. There are a lot of people that are saying that NIL has killed Cinderella. Like, you're not going to see those Cinderella teams because the good players on those teams are now transferring to make money at the bigger schools, and they don't stick around, which takes away a little bit of that fun because it's all big boys right now in the Sweet 16, which should make for an entertaining Sweet 16. None of that is even why. Like, you know, a lot of people, when they fall away from a thing, they blame that thing for them not liking it anymore, right?
Hmm.
I don't like the NFL anymore because of this. The league changed. I don't like college sports anymore, but I still like college football. It's got the same transfer portal and the same NIL, so none of that has anything to do with it. I think I just changed.
Yeah.
The amount of time I spend on other things, so I don't have as much time just for sports as I used to. Well, baseball's not taking a hit. Certainly neither college or pro football has taken a hit. I love the NBA and the NHL, too. College basketball's kind of been the one, and it's just been by default, it's not really been a choice.
Phoebe's home for spring break, and we went to ITAP, Epic Pizza, down in Soulard.
Oh, yeah?
To watch both Mizzou and Kansas win.
Mm.
That's what we went there for. That's why we were there.
Well, you know.